Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, feminist, pansexual ho living in New York City.
And Akua, one ho with identities that's stretching.
Yeah, I think that you sound better when you stretch. Not that you don't sound bad, but when you did the welcome to the Inner, you sounded like a radio.
I was relaxed. Welcome I was to in the Inner Ho Uprising.
I was like, whoa, I've never said it that gracefully in my life. Goddamn. All right. So on this show, we have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my lovely rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is an interview episode with two very cool individual people who have also built something together, but are also building things individually. Yeah.
That sounds vague as fuck.
It does, but like, shouldn't life be that way, man?
Yes.
I really like this episode.
I mean, it's really like what they're saying. It's friendship, because in friendships, we have this friendship. We try to build it. We try to cultivate it.
Exactly.
But we also live our separate lives.
Exactly.
And, you know, build that as well.
Exactly. Yes. So this is a part of our Black Love series. So you've already heard Z and Mia, the cutest couple ever. And we've heard from Diamond Styles about the fuck shit that niggas want to put trans women through in terms of love, sex, and dating, and how important it is to foster love within yourself and your community of bad bitches. And for this episode, we're talking with Danny and Cleo, who host the Danny and Cleo Show, which is a podcast about their relationship. But a little backstory on them: they're like two Black co-parents who live together and also have like an open marriage, but it's very nebulous, and they're just growing and learning and loving, and it's cute.
The high school sweethearts.
Yeah,
it's just all
it's
so cute,
man. Yeah, this was a very cute month. I hope you guys enjoyed.
But Black love is cute.
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to show you.
Exactly.
That other people won't let you know. Other people won't put it out there. But Black love is cute as fuck.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. So before we get into our conversation with Danny and Cleo, we're going to do a couple of little segments and a couple of little housekeeping type things. Yeah, what are the hashtags?
So if you guys would like to follow along, you can use the hashtag in a whole uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag pod in so other people can see it on all social media.
Yes, you can do that. And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, Black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Now, for Ho of the Week, these might seem a little dated because this episode was recorded like a week ago, but we wanted to shout out Jaden H of the Unapologetic podcast for sending us headphones. Thank you very much. Because, you know, we have earbuds up in. Yes. And also last week we shout out Michael H, who also sent us money for headphones. Thank y'all. And then also shout out to some of the people who came out to February Sex Trivia. We had Dorfie, who always comes through with the squad and buys the drinks. Shout out to Dorfie. We had Curleen, who came through with the squad. And then one.
Yes.
Shout out to them. And the person with the Tweety Bird jacket. That was such a nice jacket.
Oh.
They were all fly people. Yeah. Shout out to Tashelle, who was our sex educator, who also came through with the squad. Shout out to Lucas, who always comes through and also engineered the whole first. If it wasn't for you, the show wouldn't be where it was, man. You know, I love you, man.
No, this is an idea I've been tossing in my head, but we need to have an Ho Uprising Awards show.
Oh, my God. I love it already.
We're just like, we are paying tribute. We are giving the dues. We are giving the flowers to those that deserve.
Yes.
And you know, also spilling some tea while, so you know, nigga might get an award for eating my pussy the best in 2019. You know, we'll play around
this
with it.
Sounds
we'll see.
Quite interesting.
We'll play around with it. We'll see what we do.
Are the people in house?
What do you mean?
Do they come?
Yes, we invite. Like we about to throw a gala off this bitch. Like it's about to be a motherfucking award show. I'm
very excited for this concept. And then shout out to everybody else who came through to Sex Trivia.
Yes.
Old listeners and new people too.
Y'all
it was
packed
dope.
The house.
Yeah. Y'all was drinking boots of beer.
Oh my God.
Like there was just wild shit going on that.
Why is there always wild shit going on at our events?
I don't know, but it's good.
We recap, you're like, yo, what was happening?
Niggas wake up the next day like, wow, okay, that occurred. It was pretty cool. Yeah, so hopefully you guys come through to the next one. A little bit more on that later. But first, if you want to help continue to sustain this show monetarily or in other ways, because, you know, we're doing events, we're recording with cool people, we're doing series, we're building a whole wig crucifix studio. While we were recording, Rob kept hitting me up like, we have to make wig crucifix studios a real thing. And I don't know what they were talking about by that. I think they want it to be a physical location.
Well, we'll need help with that. We'll need some funds.
I don't know what their goal is, but I know that money is involved.
Yes.
Okay.
We need money for this award show. Little statues ain't cheap, and they're not free. Exactly. We're going to give out little
vulvas? Golden vulvas?
Yeah, or dildos that with suction cups. I love those.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You have said on a number of occasions.
I love them things.
Things, yes. I know about Akua.
So pay us,
this
please.
Show.
Yes. We'll continue.
We need golden dildos, man. So to give us some golden dildos, you can go to paypal.me/innerho. You can go to our website, which is innerhouprising.com. You can click the tab Pay a Ho Once or Pay a Ho Monthly. Damn, I said I was going to stop saying tab. You can click the button, because it's actually a button and not a tab. Pay a hoe once or pay a hoe monthly. Pay a hoe once takes you to our PayPal, which is paypal.me/innerhoe. And there you can drop any donation at any time you want. So if you want to just hop in there with like, here's 60 grand for your golden dildo. I don't know why a golden dildo would cost 60 grand, but...
Gold is expensive, but that's a whole capitalistic
cool, what
something.
Are you looking at?
Oh, I don't need... Look, back to the show. But we do these.
Is there a golden dildo out there, my nigga? Like,
no, I don't know what it's
not
called.
In this section of
something
Queens.
Is calling me out to that window. I don't know what it is, Samantha, but I've been staring out this window this whole recording.
Well, that's a frightening thing to say. To get a cool exercise
at the wig's crucifix.
For the demon that is haunting her. What the fuck?
We need money for things.
Yeah, for the exorcism, 25K in PayPal or any number of donation that you want. If you want to pay a hoe more consistently on a monthly basis, you can do so by clicking the tab Pay a Hoe Monthly, which takes you to our Patreon. The URL for that is patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. And there you can donate something like $2 a month, which will give you early access to ticketed Inner Hoe Uprising events and like things like VIP hours with the hoes and things like that. And for the price of $5 a month, you get that and also exclusive access on our Patreon. So what it's looking like right now from the poll that you guys have been voting in is the newsletter, because everybody just wants me to never sleep. You know, I don't sleep that much, but like... Okay, sure.
Why is she mad when this was her idea? She's pushed this idea for a year and a half now.
You know why I'm mad? Because ideally, I would just like to do this and not other stuff. Uh-huh. But I have to do this and other stuff.
I understand.
That's not what... If this was my only job, yeah, why the fuck not? But like, a bitch be tired, but I'm still gonna do it though. I'm still gonna do it. The moment that comes out in 2026, y'all are gonna be happy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It'd be taking me a long time to do stuff, but I do it. And then also it's looking like some vlog type shit. People really want vlog type shit from us.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah. Are you gonna use your golden dildo?
How? How am I gonna do that, Samantha? You want porn? You want me to give the people porn?
No, you
porn?
Just do a review of it. You're just this is very, you know, when people like press the gold and they bite it or something like that. I don't know. Aku is going
again,
to review
that sounds
a
like porn. It sounds a little.
My bad.
We crossing these.
That's not what I meant by that. Yeah, so you get to see stuff like that. The poll is still up. I think by March is when we're going to actually make a decision. But if you see the poll, please vote in it. You have like 3 days. I mean, when does... February ends tomorrow. Because it's 27th by the time there.
28 days.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, guys. I mean, I guess, yeah, vote.
You got 2 days. Yeah. You got today.
You got a couple of
tomorrow.
Hours. This probably came out like 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Fucking vote. Whatever. So, yeah, that's how you can support a hoe on a monthly basis. So that's $5 and up for that kind of content. You can also do any less or any more. So we appreciate like $1 a month. We appreciate $1 trillion a month. Shout out to Jeff Bezos if you want to help a bitch out. And, other ways you can help us are by leaving an Apple Podcast review or just like the 5 stars. You can tweet about us. You can respond to tweets where people are like, oh, what podcast are you listening to? You can drop our podcast in that thread. You could write up about us on your blog. You can post about us on your Google group. Like, oh, what is everybody doing this weekend? I'm going to Inner Hoe Uprising Sex Trivia Sundays. You can do that. You can put a link in the group chat with your gay fraternity brothers. I just wanted to make it more inclusive. That's why I said gay fraternity brothers. I don't want any like regular frat boys, honestly, at our events.
They look toxic.
Yeah, I was going to say unless they're sexy, but all of the frat niggas I've ever fucked are Anyway, all right. Just moving on with my life. You can also nudge. You can nudge your coworker about us, or you can walk down the street wearing an Inner Ho Uprising T-shirt, which you can buy on innerhouprising.com/merchandise. Some other events that I would like to plug, or that we would like to plug. So, Sex Trivia Sundays is being pushed back in the month of March because of renovations at the venue, and then in the second week of March, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in Austin. More on that later. So this month's Sex Trivia Sundays is going to be March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day. So come fuck with us for St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Why not?
Wear something green.
Yeah. I don't care. No. If you want to do that, corned beef and hash. No, I don't know. No. We don't want you to stink up in there. Yeah. I mean, don't bring it. But like, if you want to eat it beforehand, I don't know. It's fucking St. Patrick's Day. But the majority of what we're trying to say is that Sex Trivia Sundays is fucking lit. So we come through 6 to 8 p.m. It's at Love Story Bar. So there's always drinks flowing. There are drink specials now, which is pretty cool. I think it's like $4 for a beer and $6 for a shot in beer, mm-hmm. which is a dope deal. Yeah. If you play, it's just a fun time. If you win, you win a prize, which is also pretty cool. You can play by yourself or you can play with a team. In between breaks, we play music and people twerk and dance and laugh and talk about like Cardi B. It's just good. It's always good. So come through this time, March 17th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. If you are going to be in Austin for South by Southwest, I would love for you to come to this panel that I'm doing. The panel is called Where Are the Podcast Black Sense? And basically it's about the lack of people who speak like they're black, who get funding in podcast spaces and why that is. It's going to be pretty dope. On the panel is myself, Queen from Tea with Queen and Jay, Barry from Podcast in Color, and the creator of Pod In, hashtag Pod In, is going to be moderating it. And we're also going to have a dope PhD student from Howard University named Landy Watley. So we're going to break it down. It's going to be on March 13th at South by Southwest in the Onyx Ballroom 1. It's going to run for an hour. So if you're there, come hit us up. It's going to be 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Also, we might be doing, like, as podcasters, a podcast meetup. So more information on that pretty soon. You might actually hear it right now if I record it in later. But if not, more information on that later. And last but not least, I'm going to be on another panel called Who Saves the Stories for the Future?
She be working, y'all.
I do be working. So, like, give us more money so I can just do this. And, like, panels and stuff like that. But, like, not anything else. Well, other things. I enjoy what I do. I just want to get more money for it or whatever. That's fine to ask. So, yeah, it's called Who Saves the Stories for the Future? A Preserve This Podcast Launch Party. So, it's a launch party for the Preserve This Podcast campaign, which is a campaign to preserve podcasts against the threat of digital decay, which is really cool because it's something that I literally never think about. And I'm sure a lot of other podcasters don't think about, like, for example, like if you host on SoundCloud, what if SoundCloud just deleted for forever? And then all of your work is just gone for forever. So things like that, like if you don't have your stuff backed up on a hard drive or whatever. So we're going to be, it's going to be me, an oral historian, a couple of other podcast producers, and Molly Schwartz, who is the host and producer of Preserve This Podcast. So you can come through. It's for free on March 21st, which is a Thursday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's in New York City. I'm going to put the link to the Eventbrite in this. All you have to do is register and come through and chat. And then there's going to be a party afterwards. And who doesn't love a party? Are you kidding me? Well, some people don't love parties.
A party with Samantha is a party you need to be at.
Oh, Akua, I would say the same about you.
Hey.
Yeah. Akua always twerks on people.
I've been giving out free lap dances since I was about like 12. I think it might be a problem now. I don't know, but I'm still down. As long as you consent, I consent.
Is that a product of the middle school that we went to?
No, it's a it's a product.
That wasn't a great place.
I feel like it's just a product of being like a black woman because I've been shaking my ass since I was like 9.
Oh, that's a fact.
When Bubba Spark was like booty, 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 I was here.
This year is the 20th anniversary of Back That Ass Up. And it's like, I was 7, but I really was twerking.
Backing that ass up. Like, it's such a natural movement.
It really
for
is.
Me
yeah.
That,
like, it feels good. It's just a back opener.
Yeah.
It's
like
a stress relief.
I never had anyone teach me how to twerk. It's literally just been the go to move for me. Before that, I was doing like the Tootsie Roll and the Butterfly because I saw that and people did it. And those were like the dances. Mm-hmm. But I've just been like twerking. Just come so naturally. It's in my genetic DNA.
My grandma's nickname was Fanny because she had a fat ass. And
hey,
she
granny.
Rest in peace to a real one. But yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be twerking at this particular party.
But I mean, I'm not there, so. But it's still fun, even if she doesn't
still
twerk.
Gonna be good, and there'll be like knowledge and information if you're just like trying to learn some shit that day. Yeah, that's it for that spiel. Akua, anything else? Do you think?
I don't do nothing. No.
That's true. You just have a whole entire actual life. But yeah, y'all can't come though. So now we're gonna get into the actual show. Now we're going to move on to our topic of the day, and the segment is called Fuck It. And today we are discussing Black love, growth, co-parenting, podcasting, and open marriage, communication, and so, so much more with Danny and Cleo LeBron. So Cleo LeBron, pronouns she, her, is a photographer and community program developer currently based in Northeast Pennsylvania. Cleo's personal journey with motherhood, marriage, and the discovery of agency ignites an unbridled passion for women's empowerment and a strong sense of fucklessness. I love that word. Committed to getting out of all of her boxes, her affirmations include try more, try less, and it's not that I don't have time for you, it's just that I only have time for me. Danny LeBron, pronouns he, him, is a visual creative, music artist, and thrill seeker from Virginia by way of Brooklyn. Finding a balance between fatherhood, personal wellness, and living his best life, Danny utilizes his platform to offer transparency and honest reflections about decolonizing masculinity. His goal is always to be a better man today than he was yesterday. Together, the two host The Danny and Cleo Show, a casual conversation amongst life partners discussing parenting, open marriage, and daily life through the lens of social justice, respect, and developing healthy habits. Welcome, Danny and Cleo.
Welcome.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. I'm Danny.
I'm Cleo. And we're so excited to be here with you guys.
I'm glad that you guys said that because you both have gender neutral names. Mm-hmm. It could go either way.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
I'm actually named after one of my parents' really good friends who was indeed a guy. Mm. So you're totally right about that. And we know lots of Danny girls.
Yeah. So. Yes. One of our best friends' name is Danny. Mm-hmm. So in my head, Cleo, you were Danny.
Must be cool. Must be a very cool person.
She's actually very dope.
Do you see how Danny will find any way to like compliment himself?
I'm actually we share a name, so
To start things off, we wanted to take it all the way back and kind of hear your love story. So how did you guys meet?
I was going out, like my brother, he's I think maybe 5-6 years older than me, and I was a youngin' sneaking into clubs and stuff. So I was going to this club, it's called Banana Joe's, and I think how old was I, like 15-16?
You had just turned 16.
I just turned 16. I was going to this 18 and up club.
I remember those days.
Yeah, that was good times. And I was partying, so I went back to my brother's apartment, and his roommate, I never knew that he had a little sister. And I went in there and to go say what's up to him. And then, you know, that corny love at first sight shit, that shit really happened.
Oh, my God.
Like, seriously, like I saw my whole life flash.
I mean, I definitely feel like it was a moment in time. And and I don't mean that in a corny way whatsoever. I remember that distinctively, though, and I've never felt that again. Where looking at it in retrospect, I feel like somewhere along the lines, we made some sort of spiritual agreement, and this was like when our paths crossed, and it was like recognition. Oh, I know you. Yeah. I know you, and you're about to be somebody mad important to me. Yeah. So it was really cool. But so yeah, we were together since I was just about to turn 14. Danny had just turned 16. You know, going through all the high school bullshit.
Straight bullshit. A lot of bullshit. Tons and tons of toxic masculinity and cheating and bullshit.
But finally, in my senior year of high school, we took our first like real breakup break. Mm-hmm. So we weren't together for maybe like 9 months or so.
I was hurt, y'all. Hurt.
Wait, who was the person who was cheating? Like,
well, honestly, both of
us
had cheated.
Come to find out. you know, I'm over here repenting from my sins, thinking that she's an angel. Then like 100 years later, she's like, oh yeah, you know, I did a little dirt. So I was like, oh shit, I feel good about myself. You know what I mean?
I mean,
I could finally live with myself after she finally came out the box.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, like I said, it was definitely some high school bullshit, but we both played our parts in all of that. And then after we had broken up during my senior year, after I graduated, we had seen each other a few times throughout that period, only because there would be events that both of us would be at, but we hadn't really talked that much. And then finally one day,
the basketball game.
Yeah, basketball games mostly. Mm-hmm. And then finally one day we just started talking again.
Well, she, to be more in detail, I was in a basketball tournament. Check this out. Basketball tournament, which her boyfriend's dad, ooh, like, owned the building.
We parked up. We were like, boyfriend.
So, you know, I'm in there. My niggas is ready. One of my boys is like, yo, you want me to knock this nigga out? I'm like, chill. It's not that serious. So I'm in there. You know, I'm in there just flaunting. Like, you know, I'm trying to look sexy, wearing a nice little outfit.
Meanwhile, he got some new girlfriend, some new boo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm bringing my hoes with me. Oh, I brought the hoes with me on purpose. I brought them on purpose. I'm like, oh, yeah, you coming with me.
More than one. More than one.
Oh, yes, shit. Exactly. So, because I was hurt. I was hurt, like hurt. So I'm trying to front like I'm not hurt. And then Cleo, she was taking score for the games that I coached, and she winked at me. Ooh, I knew it was over after that. I was like, oh, yeah, you about to cheat on this nigga.
And did you cheat on that nigga, Cleo?
She gave me a kiss. And
no, I did not. Not that day.
At the gas station, right?
No, not that day. We just got together after the game and went and chatted for a while. Just spent a couple of hours, honestly, just talking.
Yeah, that's
and it
right.
was really, it was the first moment that we really reconnected. And after that, I told the boyfriend that I went and met up with Danny, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, me and him broke up.
He didn't want no smoke. He was like a geek ass motherfucker.
There's oh my nothing, god. Anyway, I am not here to defend him.
Could give the smoke.
Mm-hmm. Don't be
no. He didn't want any of it. He didn't want any of the smoke.
It was a smokeless night. Let me say that. Thankfully so. But yeah, after that, we ended up getting back together. Mm-hmm. And then less than a year later, we had gotten engaged.
Yeah,
wow. And
Cleo was like, I'm not giving you no more pussy until the ring is on my finger.
The ultimatums.
You know.
Yeah, but you know
we,
what?
We were really into that whole Christianity type thing.
At that time. At that time, I was really like hyper-Christian. Not like in the weird-ass Puritan Mormon sense, but certainly, you know, to the point where I was like, I don't feel like this is okay. Like, I'm not going to continue to live this way, blah, blah, blah. You about to make me legitimate. So, whatever.
My dumb ass is like, no problem.
So we did end up getting married after that. And I was only 19 at the time, and Danny was 21.
Yeah.
And
idiots.
I mean, not now.
Just young, inexperienced, and in love.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Frontal lobe hasn't connected yet.
Frontal lobe is not anywhere near done developing. Anywhere near.
Yes, but you couldn't tell us shit. Because
no,
I'm like,
couldn't.
Listen, I've been with him for like 5 years already.
Exactly.
And da da da. Like, in our minds, this was totally the natural path anyway.
Yeah, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I like our path. I like the way it went.
I mean, yeah, I don't feel like I regret anything. I made the decisions like, I wanted to make.
I can live the bit.
It worked out, I guess.
Thankfully, no, but on some real shit, like I always tell kids or even just young adults, like I'm like, listen, do not get married right now.
Word.
Do not have
you're
no
bugging.
Kids right now. Like you're wowing. Do not do it. I did it. Don't make the mistake I did. Not the mistake I did, but learn from the decisions that I've made rather.
Word.
So yeah, it would I do those things all over again? I'll never have that opportunity, so I can't say so. But I will say I would not give the advice or suggest others do the same thing that I did.
Mm-hmm. That's a very reasoned way to put it. Like after that, was it just like what are the other like key moments in your relationship? Like when did you decide to open your marriage? When did you have your kids? There's so much.
When did y'all
layered as fuck? So just
when y'all start popping out kids. Let's give us the timeline.
Shouts to podcasting on being able to open our relationship because I didn't know if you would have known me and Cleo, there was no way in hell that I was going to be able to pull that off. And I was just like, man, how can I be honest to her and just, you know, and not sound like I just want to like cheat on you or something, you know? Like I really felt like I just wanted to be free, you know what I mean? Like I don't want to hurt. I never wanted to hurt Cleo, but it's like, how can I just, you know, go have a good time and not, you know, be malicious and just try to, you know, I was just trying to figure out how to come about it. So, you know, we talked about it. You know, I'm always joking. I'm always being silly. You know, I always say I'm always joking, but I'm always telling the truth. So, you know, I kind of like tried to make her laugh and joke about it. And we talked about it on the podcast a lot. And then, you know, she really, you know, I could.
I mean, for me, it was when he first brought it up. Mm-hmm. I was just straight hell no.
Hell no.
I am not about to do that. I was newly a mother of my second child. We're living by ourselves in Puerto Rico, away from all our friends and family. I have no support. All I do all day, every day is parent and breastfeed and do nothing at all. And I felt like this nigga is over here trying to fuck somebody else while I'm over here raising his children. Fuck that. Like, I was not down at all. And then the more I sat with the idea, it was like, wait a second, this is not really about you. This is like, this is a win for me because I too genuinely do want to be a free person. I have no desire to own or be owned by anybody.
Oh, the tables turned quick. Like, she straight is loving this shit now and I'm suffering with my emotions. Like, it really worked out perfect for Cleo. But it was definitely my idea.
It was.
But I think it works, man. We kind of are trying to see where we're really calling our relationship because you don't really feel like it's.
I think originally we identified it as an open relationship. But at this point, I don't really connect with that language. I just feel like I'm a free person. You're a free person.
It's a freedom
and
relationship.
Each of us will do whatever we want to do at the time you want to do it. And if we end up staying together, and even the idea of being together, I'm just like, what does that even really mean? Like, I don't really care, like, about the confines of the definition of a relationship. Mm-hmm. I fuck with you because I fuck with you. Whatever you do and whatever I do, if we end up deciding that different choices are better for us or different agreements are better for us, I'm fine with that. But language is always funny to me.
Yeah. I just feel like I'm going to sleep with my children every night. So if she chooses to leave, then she's going to have to deal with that. So we don't really see how we could break up, really. You know what I mean? It's like, it's nothing to break up, really, because we really just focus on being best friends and, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you listen to our latest episode, we're taking sex out of the equation at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm suffering here, guys.
Well, yeah, but tell us about the decision to want to do that. That was your decision, right, Cleo?
Yes, it was indeed. So because my entire adolescent pubescent period was spent in a relationship with Danny, I relied heavily on just learning from him what's okay, what's not okay, you know, teaching me about what it means to be in a relationship, teaching me what it means to be a woman, to be an adult. Like, I just have so heavily relied on him that even the conversation for me around sex is so intermingled and so intertwined with my relationship with Danny. I don't really even know what that means for me outside of our relationship. So I wanted to remove that component from our relationship so that I could explore our friendship. Because we always have said, like, we're best friends. And I'm like, but are we? Because if we weren't having sex, would we still be best friends? Like, what does that truly mean? So that's kind of where we are right now with it. Mostly because I'm just needing to be able to kind of discover for myself who I am, what it is that I want. And especially within the idea of, like, sexuality, it's like I said, there has been no sexuality for Cleo outside of Danny. Mm. So it's all brand new.
Mm-hmm. So how is that journey going thus far? Or is it too new to say?
Any obstacles that get put in my way, I really try to take it head on and try to learn from everything. So it's fun. It's been fun for me. I'm having a good time. you know, there's always porn. There's always my own hands.
At the end of the day, that's the life I'm living right now. So I can't even knock it.
Yeah, like it's all good. It's what you make it, you know. So, but I don't know. I really am starting to like, you know, when I touch her like waist and when I like, you know, I just touch her, it's like a different feel. Like I really feel like, you know, she's my friend. Like I'm starting to like kind of like love her more. Because it's like I can't, it's like I really have to think about what I do. You know what I mean? Like sometimes she'll walk past me and I'll be like, damn, I want to smack her ass. But, you know, that's kind of inappropriate to do. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It's making me think about her more and just, you know, every touch feels, you know, it's kind of like, it feels good. It feels better. So, I'm enjoying it. Of course, I want to hit, but... I'll wait for that, you know, and hopefully hope to the gods that it happens again.
Well, yeah, if and when you do ever have sex again, it's going to be lit, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. See, but that's the thing. Like, me and Cleo, we have bomb sex.
True.
And, you know what I mean? So I always tell her, like, I'm like, dude, like, I'm still your friend. Like, just let me hit. Like,
like and now you just have to get them off the block, to be honest. Like, I could go on my text message
like,
and read that.
Right, like, yeah, we're still gonna be friends. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. It's a good experience. Of course, I do want to hit, and whenever she opens the door, I'm definitely flooding the gates. But until then, if it ever, I just like to tell myself that it may never happen again. So kind of like just take the relationship from that. You know what I mean? I'm really learning to love her more than just, you know, having sex with her and shit. So it's all good. I'm doing good. I'm alive.
We're happy for you.
I'm surviving. But you, Cleo, how is it going for you?
I feel like, honestly, it's been a breath of fresh air. And I try to have these conversations without sounding like I'm shitting on the previous status of our relationship prior to this point, because I'm not. But being that I really... I'm just now finally having the opportunity to explore my individuality and just like be the biggest, loudest, best version of Cleo. It's been helpful to me to have somebody who we just don't, right now, it's just the fact that we have no expectations. There's no expectations. There's no pressure. It's just like, listen, we're here every day. We're partners in this life shit. We're partners in this parent shit. And the fact that I don't have to like do anything or not do anything because I do or don't want to do something is just a level of freedom that is really helpful to me at this point in my journey. And it's always like, listen, even yesterday, I didn't even tell you this. So yesterday, I'm
You wanted to D? You wanted to D?
Yo, yesterday, I really wanted to have sex. I'm like, damn, I really want to have sex today. But it's okay. I'm going to just rub one out. It's going to be all good because I know that I need this for our friendship. Bigger than great sex to me is a healthy friendship.
You rub one out? Where was I at?
You weren't in your own room. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Oh, well, officially, I don't have my room yet. So we have the room here in the house, but it's not prepared for me at this point. I'm really looking forward to it. And I was even thinking about it this morning, actually, because Danny came in lit as fuck last night. Did you know how lit you came in last night,
yes,
by the way?
Yes, I was loud and just proud and just...
Listen, this nigga came in, I'm all the way knocked out, drool sleep. And he's like, yo, let me just kiss you. Can we kiss? I'm like, my nigga, I'm asleep. That? Yes. Oh. And I'm like, my guy, yeah, I am asleep right now.
I remember putting it on her, though. I just laid right on your ass like like a hot dog.
Oh, my God.
I was like, dude, I just need to hug, okay?
We cuddled it out, and it was fine. But even when I woke up this morning, I was on the edge of the bed. I felt like there was, like, this bear sleeping on me. And I'm like, this is why I need my own bed. Because I was sore when I woke up.
Yeah. So, instances like this what sparked the idea of your own room? Or what really brought that up for you?
For me, what brought it up was, okay, so I wake up in the morning to Danny, our two children. I go to work. I'm with people all day long at work. I come home from work. There's Danny and two children the whole rest of the night. I go to sleep, wake up, rinse, cycle, repeat, you know, like over and over and over again. And so I was really never having any time or space just to be alone.
Yeah, only for like an hour you go to the gym.
Yeah, like I'll go to the gym or I'll go to the grocery store, but it was like I always had to leave my house to have any space to myself.
And there's also people there.
And,
you know?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
As a person who don't fuck with people, I fuck with what you're saying.
No, let's talk about it.
Thank you. Yes, I hate people. I hate people. So I'm like, listen, I need to get away from everybody. So yeah, I really just wanted to have a space to like be able to just be in my own room. Even that, I've never had my own apartment. I've never had my own anything. It's always been shared between Danny and myself. And same thing for you, vice versa. I think you did have your own apartment for a couple.
With my brother, yeah.
Yeah, but you had your own apartment,
yeah.
You know, more or less for a few instances. But I'm just like, yo, I went from living in my mother's home to living with Danny.
Mm-hmm.
No space in between. So I want to have my own room and my own bed and pick my own mirror and walk into my room and nobody else's shit is in there. Nobody else's laundry's in there. It's just mine. Like, I just want something for me.
No, I completely feel that because I've always said, well, I want to take it a step further. Yeah. I want my own home. Like, my husband got to live elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if we can't afford that, we can't afford that. But I definitely have always said if I'm married, at the least, I need my own room. And I need my own office. I need two spaces that are just for me because I completely understand. I currently like co-sleep with my son. We share the same space. He's with me 24/7. As a kid, I always shared a space with someone else. And like, I can't see myself if I get married or engaged. Ain't gonna happen, but if I did, you know, and moved in with a nigga, I gotta share a bed with you too. Like, I've just never had my own space. So that's like a deal breaker. If I get married, nigga, if I can't get the whole house, I need a room by myself or it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out.
Absolutely. No, I totally understand that. And even just in the last year, I've taken my first trip just traveling alone. I got to go to Korea in the fall and that was the very first time I ever had like traveled all the way by myself. And I was like, oh my God, Cleo, you don't even know the half of like what it's like to be an adult and be able to be independent. So this is all so brand new. And I'm just like welcoming it in so many different ways. And so appreciative of the fact that I have somebody who is supportive, who is my like super, super ass friend to the end. You know, that's not gonna, I don't have to feel, I can be alone without feeling lonely.
You guys are really like the ideal like high school sweetheart romance, because usually it's like, okay, they stay together and it's all perfection. All right, that don't happen. Or they fucking get sick of each other and they just break up completely. But you're like, no, we still have love for each other. We just want to explore like our full entire selves and beings.
Or even in that, not that like they get sick and tired of each other, but starting at such a young age, you grow as people. And what happens is people tend to grow apart.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like y'all are trying to grow together while searching or learning yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Individually. Absolutely. At the same time. It's dope.
Now, absolutely. And I always, we've like had conversations before even about the idea of us like growing apart. And I'm saying to myself, at the end of it, like our lives are so tied because of our children and because of just like the way we want to parent our children and our respect and love for each other. Even when we talk about, sometimes people are like, oh yeah, I know Danny and Cleo, they're going to break up. They're going to get divorced, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I mean, I don't, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't even bother me because the idea of breaking up holds absolutely no weight. Because I'm like, this is still going to be my best friend. This is still going to be my co-parent. Like, I don't care if we break up because all it actually means is that we're not having sex. And we're already currently at this point right now not having sex. So it doesn't mean shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
So
it's a powerful position to stand in.
Danny, when Cleo came to you with this whole separate rooms thing, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I was cool. I'm into like gaming and shit, so I'm about to turn this shit out. I'm about to have it's about to be wild. It's about to be real wild in here because this room is huge. And you know, I already have a couch like in my room with a TV. And Cleo doesn't like TVs, and like we always tried, like in Puerto Rico, we never had a TV in our house.
We didn't have a TV in our house in Puerto Rico, but even before that, we haven't had a TV in our bedroom ever.
Yeah, so now we got a TV in there. So she's, you know, I know she wasn't really a fan of that. So I get to just make it, you know, put my sound system together and put my TV up and just, you know, make it a little, just make it for me. So I don't really care because I'm going to be knocking on her door. You know what I'm saying? It's good, you know what I'm saying?
She's still going to come and let us fuck on your door.
Yeah, so it's just like having a roommate, you know, like a fine ass roommate that lives next door. I'm totally cool with that.
So y'all have totally mentioned Puerto Rico a couple of times, and we need to back it up because we went from we got engaged and married to we was living in Puerto Rico and opening up our marriage
with two kids.
With two kids. So let's take it back a bit. When did you guys get into to Puerto Rico?
So we had our first child when in 2013, and we moved to Puerto Rico in 2014. So she was just over a year old, and we decided we had been talking about wanting to leave the States. We had always said, I don't want to live here. I want to get out of the States. I want to experience a new environment, a new culture, a new climate, new language, everything. And we had talked about a couple of different ideas for where we might want to move. And then ultimately, Puerto Rico just ended up being so logistically easy. You don't need a passport. You don't need a visa. You can just go there and keep your same bank.
And I'm Puerto Rican.
Danny is Puerto Rican also.
So I'll type about that.
Yeah. So it was just kind of like just such an easy move that it just made sense at the end of the day. So we just kind of got rid of all of our shit.
Everything. We sold everything we've ever owned.
Everything.
Except what we could fit in three suitcases, which was clothes.
Yeah. Literally, we moved me, him, and our 17-month-old daughter, three suitcases. Oh, and a dog.
Yes.
Three suitcases. And officially, we have four suitcases, but one suitcase just had an air mattress in it.
Yep.
And that was it. And we went down there. No car, no fridge, no stove, nothing. No furniture, no bed, absolutely nothing. And built a life there.
How old were you guys?
Let me think. I was 24, 24 at the time. Yep. Right? Yeah, I was 24. And funnily enough, I got pregnant the first week we moved down there.
Ain't life like that though.
Puerto Rico.
The climate too hot.
You know, did something for y'all.
Listen. It was a celebratory week, okay? So it was like, yes, we out here.
That air mattress was getting used. You know, man.
It was
beautiful because she, Cleo, had, you know, all natural birth. She had our daughter in our bed in Puerto Rico. So it was just so amazing, man. It was. I would say the best 2 years of my life so far. Like, I really got to really be free in my mind and just be connected with, you know, earth, with the water, the beach, and with my family. So, but I know Cleo, she was a mom and she didn't really have the experience that I had because, you know, I was more free than you were. But
speak on that, Cleo.
I did. I definitely enjoyed it, but I mean, realize for me, like I said, I got pregnant the week I moved down there. So the first damn near year of us living in Puerto Rico, I'm pregnant the entire time with a toddler.
Mm.
And Danny's, you know, he's surfing and, you know, like he's living a whole different life. That I'm not living. I'm stuck on the beach. I got like milk leaking out of both my titties. Like, it's just everything is going on. So I loved Puerto Rico. I loved, you know, being able to go to the beach every single day and wake up and just have like this beautiful, lush, like tropical ass home. Like, it was amazing. But it was, I didn't really know if I could identify it at that time, but I realized that I was very lonely in Puerto Rico. I was a new mom of, like, I already had one and now I got two. I'm by myself. I have no support. We can't ever spend time together alone because I don't trust nobody to watch my kids.
Mm-mm.
So we can't ever be childless for anything. I felt isolated and I loved it, but I don't think I got to have the experience that Danny did because for me, it was a very lonely time. And then this nigga starts talking about having an open relationship. And I'm like, this nigga's trying to kill me. Like,
oh my God, that happened in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, she said.
Yes.
You know, here she is with a toddler and a baby and breast milk. And he's talking about, I want to fuck other bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I can see why you first were against it, Cleo.
Yeah, it was a lot going on.
Yeah, it definitely was.
I came correct, though.
No, yeah, you didn't come at me like, I mean, it wasn't that conversation evolved over months and months and months. It wasn't like we had it one time and we made a decision. We probably started talking about it and didn't really.
It was like a year.
Yeah, like probably a year later or so is when we finally were like, okay, let's officially do this. We're both comfortable. We've had these conversations. We have an understanding and let's go ahead and be okay with it. And now I'm like, honestly, Danny doesn't even, I don't even know if he realizes it, but I'm his low-key cheerleader. His Tinder be popping. I'm like, go ahead, get your Tinder popping. I've been like, who that? Go ahead. Like, I'm so happy for him because I'm just like, my nigga, like, I am such your best friend. I'm rooting I'm cheering for you all the time. And I just think it's like a really beautiful space mm-hmm. to be happy for someone just because they're happy.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Y'all reach compersion, as they say in non-monogamous communities.
What's the word?
Compersion is like the opposite of jealousy.
Ooh, okay. Compersion.
I'm looking at her like, what? Compassion.
I'm about to write that down.
I'm about to get that tatted on my face.
Compersion.
So I want to explore the dynamics of your open marriage now, because you live together, you have kids, you know, are you sexually intimate with other people? Especially now that you're not sexually intimate with each other, are you sexually intimate with other people?
I mean, this is one of those things that we made it a point before we ever made the decision that neither one of us really want to know what the other person is doing.
Ever.
Like, we really don't want to know what the other person is doing. It's like, yo, be smart, be safe.
Be respectful.
And, like, respect my fucking gangsta at the end of the day. But I don't want to know, and Danny also doesn't want to know. So with that being said, within the confines of our home, like when we're home, this is our family unit. We're here. What if something happens outside of our home? That's that person's individual business on their own individual time. But when we here, we are a unit.
Yeah, this is our sacred. This is our sacred space. Yeah. I would say.
So there's no introducing kids to partners or partners coming over. We're not like co-mingling and whatnot.
Not at this time. I don't know.
Nah, I gotta really fuck with you if you come to my crib. I mean, some people, my friends, you know, I've had friends that come over here, but you know, they know Cleo, and you know, it's people that I trust. I don't, no Tinder, ain't no Tinderonis coming over here.
Okay. No Tinderonis.
Yeah, no, and I'm trying to navigate through that. You know, I talked about it on the last episode. Like, you know, I was like, yo, how do I not talk about you know what I mean? How do I say that, you know, I don't have a wife, you know what I mean? Because I'm legally married to this person. So what did I say?
I think you said something like,
oh, my partner.
Yeah, I'm like, no, you said something like, my children's mother and I, like, we're really cool.
Yeah, we
like,
mad cool. You know, that's my homie. So, and I said that to the girl. She was like excited. Oh, like, wow, that is amazing. I was like, all right, yeah.
Because that sounds like, that's the terminology fuckboys use when they still fucking their baby mama, but don't want you to know. You know, we real cool. We co-parent. We cool. We live together too. But we not together though.
That is the classic.
Danny's been trying to find the right words.
Yeah, I've been trying to write right wording because I don't want to lie, but it's because Cleo don't. She don't give a fuck.
Well, so yeah, my experience is different because a lot of my recreational time away from my family is spent outside of our local area altogether. So mm-hmm. I'll be like in New York or something along those lines where I do. So I've lived in the city for a really strong portion of my life and I have strong roots there. So I have, you know, a social circle and friends and those people know me. But I'm also meeting tons of new people who do not know me at all. So I get to be real selective with how much information I do or don't share with them, especially because I don't live there. So you're never going to like run into me at the grocery store with my kids mm-hmm. or anything like that. It's like, they only know what I tell them. And for most of the time, I don't tell them I'm married. I don't tell them I have kids. I don't tell them shit. Because for me, I'm so super ass private. So super ass private. That I'm like, I don't need you knowing shit about my life. Like, you see me tonight at this party and hello and good night. Like, that's all I need you to know. But I think that the relationship itself and the status where we're at right now is so still new. Like, who knows what friendships will develop to the point where you might want to introduce our kids to somebody or to each other or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. I'm open to those possibilities. I don't know yet.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
So is that a conversation that you've had already or is just going to come up if it ever comes up?
I feel like it'll probably just have to be a conversation that comes up when one of us feels strongly enough for that to even happen.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Like right now, I don't really have no interest in introducing like our children to anybody. But if Danny really felt like there was somebody who he really was friends with to the point where, listen, I'm really cool with this person. Like, I want them to be able to, you know, be around, or I want my children to be able to be around them for us to go do shit. I'm not opposed. Like, if you fuck with that person to that level, I trust you as a parent to be able to make those decisions.
Yeah, I think we both understand that, you know, we fuck with our kids hard body karate and we not going to introduce them to no fuck people. So, you know, we trust each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Earlier, Danny, you had said that, I don't know if you said it was your podcast that gave you the tools to start talking about like opening up your marriage, or if it was other podcasts, but what did you mean by that?
No, it was our podcast. It really gave me a platform. Like I always tell people, like our podcast is therapy every week for me, you know, because I get to really talk to her and be mindful of what I'm saying because other people are going to, you know, hear it. I get to check myself and, you know, I come correct. We always say, we don't argue, we debate. We always act like we're, at a courthouse or whatever. And so it just gave me a way to have a conversation than just, you know, having it with just me and her without anybody listening or no kind of like, I guess, structure to it.
I think that it's interesting you say that because I also feel like some of our most serious conversations are the ones that we reserve for the podcast because it's like, okay, here we go. We're about to enter this conversation. We're going to be able to kind of like process this information out loud. Sometimes we're angry, sometimes we're sad, but you have to navigate through it and you don't really have a choice but to communicate your way through it. And we can do it outside of the podcast, but we don't have every serious conversation when we're recording, but I do feel like if there's something that's on my mind or something that I kind of want to talk about, we may softly introduce it to one another prior to recording, but we'll really have an opportunity to flesh it out where it's kind of like, listen, you're being confronted with this and you are going to have to communicate through this. So there is no fuck it, I'm leaving, I'm shutting down, I'm going to go play my game. It's okay. We're live right now. Let's talk.
I mean, we've had some heated episodes where we cut it off and, you know, we're debating heavy. But I don't know. I guess we just take the good with the bad.
There was one episode in particular where we really did not talk at all before we started recording. And both of us were hot as fuck. And we just went off. We were just on there like, just, oh my God, it was live. It was so live. And at the end of it, I didn't tell him, but I quickly went and deleted it. And I didn't ask for his permission to delete it because I said, no, I revoke my consent to post this because this is my life and I'm not about to publish this for the world. This is for me. Yeah. And as much as I love to be transparent, yeah, that was that one time. I love to be transparent, but I was like, listen, I don't give a fuck. I'm not, this is my life too. And I get to change the rules whenever I want and I'm not posting that.
Yeah, that's
crazy. Boundaries are boundaries.
Yeah, and they move and they change.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So since we're on this vein, when did you guys start podcasting? What inspired that?
We started podcasting in Puerto Rico, actually. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why did what we start podcasting.
Well, I used to edit. I was editing a sports podcast that my friend. So he introduced me to podcasting. So I would listen to his show every week because I would edit it. And then me and Cleo, we've been saying the Danny and Cleo show for a long time, like even before we knew what a podcast was, because we always say, you know, we always have interesting conversations all the time. Like why, you know, we always wanted like a camera crew, this and that. So once the podcast thing came, I was like, man, this is the time that we could have the Danny and Cleo show. And that's how it,
we've always talked about wanting to have a reality show.
Oh yeah, that should be lit.
Seriously, we have always wanted a reality show, and realistically, it's so time consuming that we cannot put it together ourselves. So we're like, listen, fuck it, we'll just do a podcast for now. But our lives have been really public for a while because even before we were doing podcasting, we were really heavily into the online parenting community, where you know we were talking about what it was like going through motherhood and being a father, and we were giving speeches at conferences and shit. Like
I was on the cover of a magazine and everything.
Yeah, like that was really like a big part of our lives before we got into podcasting. So we already had some people who were sort of interested in being an audience, and then they were like, no, like I fuck with it, like go ahead and do that. And at first it started off us talking more about parenting, and then the more our children grew, the less interested I was in talking about parenting all the time. Cause I'm like, listen, y'all not about to suck out my whole fucking life. Like, y'all gonna be my children forever anyway. I don't need to talk about you endlessly. I need to talk about myself at some point or have the space to explore myself. So I think that it sort of transitioned, and it's like life happened at the same time, and it all kind of just flowed right into the next, where I'm at a point where I'm kind of like, I still obviously identify strongly with my motherhood, but it's not the entirety of my identity. Yeah. And so who is Cleo outside of being a mom? I didn't really fucking know. Like, I couldn't answer the question because it's like, I've been so wrapped up in being a mom. I don't know who I am outside of being a mom. I don't know who I am outside of being Danny's wife. Let me find out. And so that's voila, where we are now. Yeah.
I fuck with it, Cleo. Yeah. I really did.
How old are your children?
Currently they're 3 and 5.
Do they know about your podcast? Like, do you do it from home?
We do it yeah, from home, but we can only do it when they're asleep.
Yeah, but Luna knows about it. She's
like, yeah, so our oldest, Luna, she knows about it, but we cannot record when they're awake because it would just get interrupted endlessly.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're ever part of the recording process. They don't listen to our episodes or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I think there's like, yeah, like they know, but it's not like a thing to them.
Akua's son is downstairs trying to become the host of this show. At this
I introduced my son to podcasting and now he wants his own. He wanted to interview y'all. Like, he was like, Samantha, who? I'm just going to sit in and ask the questions.
It probably would be great, actually. That would be amazing.
Fuck around and lose my spot in a whole uprising.
I would lose my spot. Not even y'all just look right like now. Anywhere. Just swap them in.
Even us recording right now in the middle of the afternoon, we had to like sneak them downstairs, put them on a movie. Like, all
right,
listen.
Yeah, we don't know what the fuck they're doing right now.
Oh, me either. My son could be down there karate chopping all of Samantha's furniture. I don't know.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm hoping he not fucking sitting up down there.
So what has the response been from the listeners of your show?
A lot of people on Twitter, man, you know, they'll message me privately, or, you know, I've gotten phone calls and texts, and a lot of people, you know, they say thank you for being honest. You know, a lot of people tell me I help them out with their relationship. I've always been getting good reviews. You know, only bad reviews is to, you know, do more. You know, I want to see visuals. I want to see this. I want to see that. So I never got a bad response. As you know,
first
not
of all,
yet.
Real quick, speaking of children, I hear one of them yelling. So Danny's gonna go real quick check on that.
Playing there wrestling.
I just hear the mama. Mama, I'm like, oh my god, what's going on down there? But yeah, as far as feedback that I've gotten personally, I have a lot of women especially who reach out to me like, yo, honestly, thank you for saying out loud the shit that I have been trying to put into words, or thank you for just being bold enough to say something that's uncomfortable and may hurt people's feelings, and you just are giving me the strength to talk to my partner about how I'm really feeling, or helping me identify what's really going on within my life and within my own motherhood. And that's been something that's really encouraging and powerful for me, because I'd be scared myself. I'd be like, listen, I don't know what's about to come out. I don't know how I'm gonna say it. It's just gonna be what it is. And the amount of people, I mean, on some sense, I feel almost kind of bad sometimes. So I'm like, this is not about me like bashing marriage. If anything, this is about me saying like, no, this is what a marriage can actually look like. These are the conversations that actually take place. It's not just what you see on Instagram, especially because we've been so publicly seen online before. It's like, yeah, you see us happy and, you know, oh, look at us and our kids and we married and we celebrated anniversary and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, that's what you see online. But in real life, these are the conversations that we're actually having to have, and this shit is hard. There's no answers, there's no formula, there's no recipe. Like, we are constantly just throwing shit in the oven and seeing if we can make a cake.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So
which is what life is, right? Have you ever felt pressure to be like hashtag couple goals or hashtag black love and present a perfect version of your marriage because you are so visible online?
I've never felt like I needed to present a perfect version of ourselves. If anything, that has encouraged me to present the most honest version of ourselves, because I don't want people to think like what you see is I don't want to sell nobody a story. I'm not selling a fucking fairy tale here. Like, if you're encouraged by my journey, I appreciate that. I fuck with that. But don't sit here and look at us and be like, oh, look, they were together and we can do it too. It's like, no. Look at it and say, damn, they had some hard-ass conversations. We need to have some hard-ass conversations, too. That's what I want people to take away from it more than anything else.
Which is really, that's what couple goals actually is. Mm-hmm. So, inadvertently, you are a couple. You're actually just life goals. You're just individual people learning about themselves and living a good life goals.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
How do you personally feel about the feedback that your listeners get? Samantha was telling me about feedback about the fact that Danny speaks over you. And I feel like that was an episode or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
I always do that.
There we go. Oh, there you go. I actually always do that. I just wanted you to... No, I'm just kidding. I'm fucking with you.
No, it was terrible. If you listen to our first, you know, four, five or six episodes, it was terrible, like so bad. And I was like, man, I have to really, you know, make it a point to stop doing that. And it's gotten so much better, but now I'm really trying to perfect it. And, you know, I think I'm doing good, like right now. Like I really... So I have it in my head to, when she speaks, to really shut the fuck up and let her say her sentence, and then I talk.
But sometimes it gets heated, and in those heated moments, and when we're having like a really passionate or emotional conversation, sometimes you, not that you can't help it, but those things sort of start to peek out again. So people will call him on that and be like, yo, Danny, you know, check yourself on this or check yourself on that. And in reality, at first, sometimes I'll be like, yo, am I really doing that? Or like, is this valid criticism? And I'll have to be like, yeah, that's valid criticism.
I get checked about everything. Like, it's terrible. Like, the police on Twitter are crazy. On Cleo gets nothing. Nothing's ever said to Cleo. Everything is Danny.
Mm. I mean, I don't know.
And I'm a nigga and I ain't shit, so it's all good. So I take it and it's all good. I just had to understand that, you know, people are not out here to, you know, they're not trying to go at me, they're not trying to embarrass me. So I've been taking everything and you know, trying to work with it.
That's good.
Yeah, and that's something that I can definitely say I appreciate about where you are, where Danny is now, is being able to accept feedback. Like, constructive criticism is a skill. Like, people have to learn how to accept feedback, and not everybody is well versed in doing so. So to be able to like actively practice it on a weekly basis right now is something that I'm thinking is just really helpful for, you know, just like a life skill in general.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So you're getting feedback from like listeners and stuff like that. Do any of your family members listen to the show?
So I know that there are some family members who listen to it. And I know even like some who have listened to it and they're like, I can't listen to that. Like, I need to not listen to those conversations, because even people who aren't our family, they're like, I feel sometimes that I'm listening, like I'm eavesdropping on a private ass conversation that I should not be listening to. But yet you put it on the internet. So I have had like some family members of mine who were like, yeah, I started to listen and I had to turn it off. It was just way too uncomfortable for me, which I'm fine with, because I honestly don't really want my family to listen to it, because they're like in my BI.
Yeah.
Like, most of my family doesn't even know that we have like an open relationship or anything. Like, they don't know this shit. So,
and half of them don't believe me. I told my grandma the other day, she was like, what the fuck is that? Like,
hilarious.
I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, Gran,
nigga, I don't care.
I can, like, we're just friends. She's like, no, that, she said, that's your wife. What are you talking about? I'm like,
all right, yeah, I keep my shit real low key, real under wraps. So I kind of prefer that they don't listen to it. But if they do, I'm okay with it. I just really, I'm so awkward. I'm just like, don't talk to me about it. It feels weird. Like,
something that I think about in like the very, very far away future, when and if I ever have children, is like, okay, I'm never deleting Inner Hoe Uprising. So in theory, like an 18-year-old Samantha's child could go back and be like, yeah, I was throwing up on mad dicks that one week.
Oh, you couldn't ever delete it. Because how am I going, in my demented state, how am I going to get my grandchildren to hear my whole story? I'm documenting it for a reason, sis.
And so is the, like, do you guys ever think about like when your kids grow up, if they can like go back and access like the types of things that you're talking about? I feel like they probably wouldn't
absolutely
want to.
Absolutely. I definitely think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but man, our kids is cool as fuck, man. I mean, and we treat them like how we treat ourselves, man. We really open to them, and I really wouldn't give a fuck.
I wouldn't care, but you know what? I think it was something that, I think it has the potential to be something really empowering for them, because I think about conversations that I've had with my mother, or conversations that I wish that I had with my mother about shit that we just never talked about, or that I don't want to bring up, or things like that. But if I had something that I could listen to privately on my own and just listen to her talk honestly and transparently as an adult, I would value the fuck out of that. Like, yo, thank you for saying that shit out loud. Even if we didn't have to have the conversation face to face, you and I, the fact that I got to hear you speak honestly would be so empowering for me that I definitely want them to be able to hear these conversations and see, like, listen, like, this is the real life shit that you're going to need to see and hear. Mm-hmm. I fuck with it.
What I did, as I was low-key researching and stalking y'all, I started to see the Danny and Cleo confessions on social media. And I wanted to know how your show is evolving and how you're incorporating it. What was the purpose of that?
So we got a lot of feedback from people that they wanted to see more visuals in conjunction with our podcast coming out weekly.
Y'all are some good-looking people, decided this. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. It's just so fucking time-consuming. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what it's like to put together a production.
Yes.
People just hear, you know, the 1 hour episode. They don't see it took like 4 or 5 other hours of work before that.
And after, yeah.
You know, to create the final product. So same thing with visuals. It's like, damn, we gotta, like, first of all, not have kids around when any of this shit is being created, and then have the time to record and create and stuff like that. But we came up with the idea of the confession sessions because we kind of thought about, if we did indeed have a reality show, how they have those, like, you know, little, when they're talking about what happened, but nobody else is around. That's sort of the idea that we had about them. So we were giving ourselves an opportunity to say shit. So we don't watch each other record it, and we don't talk about it prior to the episode. So we literally will record the confession sessions. We'll play them right before we record for each other, and then we just start recording. So we don't know what the other person has said, what topics they're talking about, nothing. So it's kind of like this little fun thing that will be like, it could be really like jubilant, it could be really serious. We have no idea what's about to happen.
I'd be scared every time we press play.
What are you scared of?
Like, what the fuck is she doing? It's about to say now.
Well, I mean, I could get it too.
You guys have talked about how you use the podcast as a space to kind of, you know, clear the air debate. Has any of this sparked like anything of the podcast or now the confession sparked arguments off podcast or like off air?
I don't think that spark arguments. I do think that there is a lot of emotional processing that comes with the topics that we're talking about. So even in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the evolution of our relationship and where we're at now and really growing our friendship, mm-hmm. and, you know, shedding jealousies and things like that. And those things cannot be resolved in a little 1 hour episode. So, of course, you know, it's the things that kind of pop up throughout our week and conversations that we have in, you know, outside of the podcast. But I wouldn't really say that they spark arguments. Instead, I think that it gives us an opportunity, especially if we record and then you listen back to it yourself later on in the week, you get to really hear, like, removed from the emotion and the passion of the moment, what somebody is saying and what they're trying to connect with you about. And I value that immensely because it helps me, and it helps, I think, both of us see, yeah, like, where definitely. The other person is coming from. I'm not mad right now. I'm not salty right now. Exactly. I've had a minute to kind of decompress, and now I can try to absorb what it is that you're communicating with.
Yeah, our show really helps our relationship out every week, man. Like, I really appreciate it. I don't give a fuck if no one listens to that shit, mm-hmm. because it really helps me out. It's literally, you know, it helps my relationship out. That's what the Danny and Cleo show really is.
I agree.
Does your editing?
Daniel LeBron does every fucking thing.
I contest.
Sound like some
Daniel LeBron. No. Daniel LeBron does all of the audio editing for the podcast. Cleo LeBron does all the video editing for the confession sessions. Mm. So
Cleo has edited 4 videos. And
that
Daniel
is labor,
has
okay?
done.
We're sure not going to denounce Cleo's labor.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm. Okay. Excuse you.
Please. I am glad that she did take that on, though.
Are you guys, like, completely raw, for lack of better words, with your podcast? Are you editing things out? Is someone editing something someone else is out? Like, y'all just like, I'm cutting that. I don't want to hear that.
No.
Yeah, I don't edit shit. Like, even when the kids do it, like, and I press, you know, I press stop, I immediately press record again. I don't even edit that out. I just, the only thing I edit in is the intro. And, you know, we're starting to put some of my music at the end of the episode. So I'll edit that in. And that's literally it. I throw something on it to, you know, make the noise sound clear. And that's it.
Yeah, we don't cut or chop and screw any of it. Whatever was said, that's actually all that was said and mm-hmm. nothing more. And like I said, the only time that has ever not been the case is the time that we completely nixed the episode altogether.
She did, mm-hmm. not me.
Okay, I
wanted to save it so we could like put it like years from now, like put it up, but she was like, fuck that.
You know what? It just felt like when I made that decision, that episode was so fucking toxic.
It was bad. It was terrible.
It was so toxic. Like, it was not a debate. That was a straight argument. That was shots fired, yes. shots back. Like, it was bad.
It was the fuck you episode. Definitely.
It was definitely the fuck you episode. So I was just like, nah, this is really us just having a heated ass moment. This is not us having a conversation. And our podcast is about us having real conversations, mm-hmm. not just like an opportunity for us to be petty with one another.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Respect to you for doing that for your personal selves and then also like for the listeners. Because I think there's like a weird balance when people are arguing on a podcast that makes me feel super uncomfortable, and it kind of doesn't really do anything for any parties involved. I mean, except for the people who like the drama.
I mean, it could even trigger some people, yeah, you know, some relationships take you back. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm so not about the drama, like, whatsoever. And as much as we're already putting our shit online, I'm like, yeah, this don't need to exist on the interwebs.
Y'all don't gotta know
like,
everything.
Yeah, not at all. We need to be able to say, you know, what's okay and what's not okay. And that was the first and only time I ever felt like, this is just not okay. Like, I don't want to do that.
That was a good job. I'm glad you made that decision.
Yes. Because I knew, you know what it was? I knew that he would want to put it in the vault and release it later. That's what it really was. I knew that even if we didn't release it that week, he was going to try to save it for another time. And I'm like, nah, fuck that. You ain't getting no other time. This shit's getting deleted right now.
The executive decision. All right. So as we wrap up, so y'all have been together for about 15 years, right?
Since 2013. So going on 16. Yeah.
2000 what?
13.
No.
2003, I meant. Since 2003. I'm sorry.
So going on 16 years. So what does the next 16 years look like for Danny and Cleo?
Man, long as I die before her, I don't know. That's all I want. Seriously. We were talking about that yesterday, and it's like, dude, I just need to die before you, and then we'll live happily ever after.
Okay.
Danny always says sure. that. He needs to die before me, which I'm fine with. Like, I saw one, I'm like, you could die before me. Like, I'll be all right.
Cleo just wants her alone time. She's like, finally, I have peace, motherfucker. Damn. This nigga been in my ear for 30 years.
These kids is grown.
50 years. Yeah.
She going down to the senior center.
So, yeah, she I don't really know. I don't really have a vision for what Danny and Cleo look like over, I don't know what it's gonna look like at the end of this year, let alone 16 years from now.
We're gonna get stronger though, man. I feel like we're getting stronger individually. We're getting stronger in our relationship, man. All I see is just a lot of positivity and trying to just work on ourselves every day, man. Just keep working and working and working.
Yeah.
So I think we're gonna really be, you know, relationship goals.
I think that right now and always, my goals are always just to continue to grow. I always say the two things I'm always focused on is mastering myself and reclaiming my life. Mm-hmm. And so whatever that means and whatever iteration of Cleo there is yet to be seen next year, next month, next week, I don't know. But I really am hopeful and I'm excited about the idea that I have somebody who's going to be my best ass friend forever, and that we will find a way through it, because I love you bigger than everything.
Bigger than a D.
I love you bigger than great sex. I love you bigger than arguments. I love you bigger than a ring. I love you bigger than a marriage certificate. Like, I love you bigger than money, all those things. So as long as we continue to have an attitude to one another that's one of support and one of genuine ass selfless love, I don't think there's anything we can't do.
We gonna leave that right
y'all,
there.
Y'all are making us cry tears of love up in here.
That's what's up.
God damn.
We gonna leave that right there on that note.
Well, I have a very personal not related to this interview at all. Okay, so were y'all at Pod and Live last year?
I was.
Danny was. Okay. Yeah.
So I was very drunk, so I don't remember most of it. But Danny, did you yell at me for not having a business card? Was that you?
Nah, I don't yell at women.
Or just like a slightly raised tone of voice.
Nah, I don't think so. No, that
definitely wasn't me. You got a doppelganger. Because somebody was yelling at me.
But you know what did happen? I was at your party over the summer.
Yeah, but you didn't introduce yourself, though. I saw that on Twitter, and I was like, what?
I know. You know what? I'm so shy. I really am.
That's okay.
I went there, me and my homeboy, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so great. The twerk contest was fantastic. I was like, yo, this is lit. I had a really, really good time. But I usually am kind of just like keeping it low key, kind of like sitting back and observing and absorbing it all. But it was such a fun ass time. And I want to thank y'all for having that. Because I told everybody that whole week, I'm like, yo, I'm going to this party, but Inner Hoe Uprising is about to be greatness. I'm so excited. And they were like, yes, Cleo, go be a hoe. And I'm like, I'm really not. But I'm going to go try to have hoe ass fun. So I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. Yeah. We hope to see y'all again very soon.
And recognize you.
Exactly. And Danny, yes. I'm sorry. You didn't yell at me for having a business card. I got to find out who that was.
I wish I was there. Now we on a hunt.
Hopefully whoever that was comes next year. Shout out to you, Queen.
It was Swiss Beats. You don't even know. It was Swiss Beats.
Swiss Beats. I'm weak. You do look like Swiss Beats. It's wild.
Danny gets that all the time. Danny gets that he looks like Swiss Beats, and I, when I have my hair wrapped on, get Alicia Keys. So, yes.
I see it. I see it. Y'all should cosplay.
Sure. I think we should do it for like Halloween or something.
Exactly.
Sure. That would be fun.
Exactly. All right. So let the people know where they can find you on the internet and where they can listen to your podcast.
On SoundCloud and iTunes, The Danny and Cleo Show. I always say we're the only Danny and Cleo in the world, probably. And on Twitter, it's Danny and Cleo.
On Instagram, Danny and Cleo. And that's all of our together stuff.
And if you want to sponsor or send some checks or anything, our email, you know, DannyandCleoShow@gmail.com.
Indeed. So that's where you can find all of our collectively produced content. However, individually, you can find me on Instagram at ThoughtTraps, THOUGHT, Traps. Mm-hmm. And do you have a separate Instagram?
No, I don't want to put that out. You know,
oh, okay. Oh, you keeping it low key?
Yeah,
excuse me,
like,
fancy.
Yeah, nah, nah.
Heard you.
Copy.
I'm going to let you be a hoe. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you guys so much.
No, thank y'all for having us. This was great. I had such a good time. My belly is tight from giggling so much. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Word.
That was a really good episode.
No. Oh my God. That was the, and I feel like we're going to keep saying this. That was just like the cutest.
Yeah. It was just a cute month, you know?
I love it. But like one couple goals, like I would want a marriage that grows that way, that allows me.
That is open to growth and not like scared of it or like purposely blocking it off or anything like that. That's what I meant when I said it all just, they get sick of each other. Like they don't even explore other options that are possible. Mm-hmm. And I really, I don't know. It kind of reminded me of like my parents in a way. Cause once again, it was like, I think my dad had a little more time to grow on his own, but my mom was just like, I'm here and now I have child and now I have husband and now, whoa, but I'm trying to do some other, like, I still love y'all, but I'm trying to do some other things though. Mm-hmm. And like they did end up separating, but it was just like a conversation like, I want to do this personally for me. And then my dad understood that. Mm-hmm. And they were best friends to the end and shit like that. Like, that's cute, man.
They supported each other to the end.
Yeah. And it reminds me of me and my ex who are still great friends. But like, do you, my nigga? And I'm going to do me, my nigga. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. Yeah, I like them.
We need more of that as an example of what black love or just love can look like. Exactly. What marriage can look like.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that also makes me think of how women's lives are written for us. Yes. We never get the chance to grow. Mm-hmm. You are to get married, have child.
You were a child. Now you are wife. Now you are mom.
So quickly.
And now you're a grandma.
And even that space between wife and mother, people don't even give that space.
Yeah.
Soon as
wife, mom.
We at the honeymoon. Wife. They're like, so pregnancy test?
Exactly.
What we doing?
Exactly.
No, you don't get a year to travel with your husband. You pop out babies.
Yeah.
Like, I can see why so many women could feel so enmeshed and like just not have themselves and have that yearning to find themselves.
Yeah.
Because you're never encouraged to search for yourself or have your own identity.
It's mad brave.
It is. Yeah. And to have a partner that supports that. Exactly. That's like, all right, you want to grow? Grow. I'll be right here.
Yes.
Let me hit though.
I'm still going to come on your door to smash though.
Niggas.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, niggas.
But that is, like you said, they are so layered and it's, I love to see that. I love to, you know, present that to people. Because again, Black love, Black people.
Are we not
say,
a monolith.
Yeah, you know, we say we're not a monolith. Black love is not a monolith.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, hope you guys enjoyed the Black Love Month. If you did, you know, tweet about it or something like that.
Let
I don't
us
know.
Know or something.
Yeah, write an email like, oh, yeah, this helped me in my relationship or whatever. We have some good things in store next month, mm-hmm. which we'll keep tight-lipped on until it's actually announced.
We have some good things all year round.
This is a great year.
All right, we yes. have planned some things.
Exactly, this is a good year. yeah, so what do the people do if they want to follow us?
You don't. Oh, no.
Damn.
So if you guys want to follow us, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising on Instagram. That's with the G.
And it? Facebook.
Oh, yes. And Facebook. You guys can follow me, Aku, at Hey Aku Girl, HeyYYAKUHEIRL. And I only spell that because Samantha likes it.
Yeah, I do. And I'm glad you never stopped. Thank you. You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen Sam Diego also on Instagram, which is my travel and food page.
You know, I never realized that you take so much pictures when we travel.
I do, and I just never.
But you like
never
so
goes anywhere.
Covert with it, because like you had pictures in NOLA that I even see you take your phone out for. I was like, this bitch was you was like she'll
the
be
the lens is in my eyes.
Yeah, no, it has to be because she will be like absorbing things
yeah.
and being present. But yeah, she got all these photos. Bitch, when did you take all these pictures?
Yeah, Danielle was like, you got some nice photos in Dubai, Sam.
When did they have? We never saw it. She got cameras in her eyes, y'all. She from the future. She lying to y'all.
I'm a cyborg. You can also go to innerhouseprising.com to pay a hoe or check out merchandise. That's it. Bye.
Bye.